26653 West Allison Drive, usually on Thursday afternoon. If you drive by, I'll be mowing my lawn. And when I'm mowing my lawn, this is usually one of the songs that's playing, and I mow with vigor. I'm just like, I'm sure my neighbors are utterly embarrassed and talking about ways to get me out of the neighborhood, but I love this song. I will run and I won't quit, chasing your heart, just like David did. I am going to run after you, God. The tremendous passion in that. And you hear those longings, those undertones of heaven. Can't wait. Can't wait till you carry my soul away and I can be with you forever and ever. So we're going to be talking some today about forever. You see a lot of orange shirts around. We don't have a church uniform. Had a bunch of kids head off to camp and do a bunch of work, and we'll be talking about that together. But as we move into these three songs this morning, catch the heaven themes in there, and I want you just at least once in one of these songs, just get lost in the presence of Jesus. Sing to him as if you're looking into his face right now, and just enjoy the beauty of his presence. Let's stand and worship our Jesus.
You follow the earth. Thank you. thank you, Father, for your love, God, and for accepting us just as we are. Lord, thank you that we can come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that you will take us, warts and all. God, we just thank you so much for that. We love you, and we just want to praise your beautiful, your wonderful, and your powerful name today. We want to bring you glory, give you honor, Lord, in this time and with our lives. You were the Word in the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, right here. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without. Jesus, you brought heaven down. Sin was great, your love was great. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. Yours. pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord. We thank you for these words, God, that are truth. Lord, when we remember how big our obstacles are, Lord, when we remember how big our mountains are, God, may we not forget how big you are. Lord God, you are worthy of all praise. You are worthy of being praised with everything that we have, Lord. And there's enough to praise you for, Lord God, that we'll never stop singing your praises, Lord. We could just constantly, consistently, Lord, sing your praises all day long. And Lord God, that would not be a waste. Father, for you are so, so worthy of being praised and glorified and honored. And Lord God, may we do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Hey, our servers are getting ready to collect the offering here in just a moment, and then they're going to come in about a minute. So I want you to be getting ready for that. But between the two of us today, I'm not kidding when I say, you know how when Moses went up on the mountain, he came down and his face was glowing? I realize we have orange shirts, and I realize we're a little bit more tan than last week, but I'm telling you what, I feel like I am glowing today. Yeah. I mean, it was just, what a week.
Yeah.
What an amazing, I mean, one of my friends loves this, you know, the term grace energy. A week just drenched with the energy of grace. Oh, it was amazing. So I'm going to let you talk first, and that way I'll see how much time I have left. Give me some. Okay,
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I'll give you a little bit. This week, I can't lie. I mean, this is the fifth or sixth year. I lost track. Normally, when I get home, it's like I crash immediately as soon as my head hits the pillow. And then I wake up and I'm like, oh, thank God that's done. And we can move on with the summer. I woke up on Saturday and like the first thing that I did, I started scrolling through Instagram and going through Snapchat. And like I lost it because I'm looking at the captions and the messages that are going in. And it wasn't just, we had a really fun week. It was, we get this. They're sharing the passages that, oh man, I hate you for this.
I texted him yesterday morning and I said, I'm kind of depressed. I miss these kids. Oh,
seriously. And that was, and that's been the feel for all the leaders.
You all can come to my house.
This is like
do work. No, go ahead.
It's honestly like the first time that I've gotten home and I've been like, man, I could use 3-4 more days of that.
Oh, wonderful.
Because our passage was from 1 Corinthians 9 and said, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs? And we pointed out the first night, we did our salvation message the very first night and told them, hey, everybody runs a race. And, you know, so you no matter what you are or who you are or where you're going, you're running some kind of race. And there's only one race that is going to get you to where you need to be. And so I laid out 3 personal stories of 3 of my friends who have gone down very different paths. One who did go down a godly path. The one who did do everything that God asked of him. And last August, his life came to an end at the age of 30 after just having his second child. So even though you may pick the right path, your race might end prematurely in our minds. But God has this great plan for you. And I think this week, it was crazy to watch our kids take a hold of that and be like, all right, I get it. I want to run this race. And then throughout the week, literally live it out. We have seniors going down and spending their free time with 6th graders. We have, which has happened before, like our student leaders are just unbelievable. Grace Thilo, Vivian Van Eck, Nikkel Carlson, Elam Yost. All right, our student leaders are phenomenal. All right, and they normally do that. But we had other students. We had other students going out and seeing what they're doing and taking the message and just loving on these little kids. Instead of having fun on their own, they're going out and they're saying, I want to run this race, and I want you to see what that looks like. And so, I mean, just throughout the whole week, it just blew me away. And so I can't thank you enough for trusting your kids with us and sending them along because, doggone, they did a lot of work. They had a lot of fun. And Dora Kruger, Sherry Gierman, planning the amazing race component of this. It was, I'm sure you've heard stories. If you're one of the families, that was our whole game theme for the week. They were tired. You know, by the end of the week, they're done, and yet still they're putting everything they have into this organized game, And it doesn't matter, like, I'm looking through my pictures because all the races ended, like, at me. I was the finish line. So they'd come in, and it didn't matter if they were first or last. Everybody had smiles on their faces. Hmm. And that was a huge difference for me this year. I saw there was never a point where, yeah, we were tired, but there was never a point where it got to where I had to say, all right, guys, come on, keep it together. No, they did it on their own, and I'm wildly impressed with our kids, and I love you guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No kidding. Yeah, I would just add to it that literally everything we hoped the week would be was times 100 better. I mean, the hope that we'd have labor leaders go along and teach kids how to do, we have kids learning how to rewire a light. We had a group of high schoolers roofing a building and then talking about, we should do this for the summer and make money. I mean, it was cool to watch us, watching these sixth graders get very acquainted with buckthorn and still do it cheerfully even on the final day, at least as cheerfully as you can with buckthorn. Like Brian said, watching older kids befriend littler kids and seeing those littler kids, the look on their face like, you know, you want to be my friend, really? Such incredible Christ-likeness all week long. I mean, I've thought about it a lot. I can truly say one of the better weeks of my life. I just, wow. So there's way too much to talk about. And sometimes we try to come back and, you know, do a quick review. And we're so tired. I need an IV. I'm like in a coma, you know. So sometime in the next couple of weeks, we're going to just pull together a bunch of pieces so that we can tell you, because so much needs to be highlighted, so much needs to be praised. It was just amazing. So thanks for leading us.
Yeah, it wasn't me. It was them. Seriously,
you did a great job.
The one thing I do want to mention, just for your awareness, we had four legs of the Amazing Race. We only got through three. By Thursday, we realized that we were not going to be able to get it done to the degree that we wanted to get it done. So we, as leaders, came together and said, let's do this at home. Because, again, we want to encourage these kids to keep running that race, to keep running to win. So we're going to have this fun day where we get everybody from Green Lake and those who didn't get to go along to come out and do leg four of the Amazing Race and do all our prizes in that. We haven't picked a day because I think we're all still, you know,
blurry.
eyes half
blurry.
Half open.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
As soon as that date is open, it'll be sent through Remind, and we'll let you know. So we're looking forward to continuing Green Lake.
So there's this piece of me, obviously, that does not want to leave the top of the mountain. It's wonderful. But yes, we have climbed down, and there's still things to do. He bought a house, so I guess I'm going to be doing some painting. There's still some work to do at Shelley's house. There's a gym that we now have possession of that we need to get ready for, so that's exciting. We have this crazy little thing called Quest coming at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And registration for that closes tomorrow night. So we still have those invite cards that, remember, tiny print on the back, and you're saying, I can't read it. Printed for a 7-year-old. They can read it. So go ahead and get that to them.
And again, after this week, I mean, we're going to have a lot of junior hires and high schoolers working at Quest. I can promise you that those little ones are going to be cared for beyond anything you can possibly imagine.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's going to be a great week. Very great week. And then there's also an announcement in the folder about donations for Quest. So need to be collecting those donations as well. So make sure you keep focused on both of those, okay? Go sleep.
Did I eat up too much time?
No, you did all right. You did all right. So we're shifting today to kind of a fun June series called it Let's Talk. And this series, we're just taking a bunch of the questions that you have about the Bible, Southfield, all kinds of different things, and bringing them with some answers on Sunday morning. Several of the questions, I loved it. Several of the questions kind of focused on eternity. They focused on what happens out there, what's next. And I had the privilege Thursday night of talking with our kids about heaven. So I'm going to take some of the questions as well as some of what I did that night and mash them together so that for some this will sound a touch familiar, but it's not completely the same. You'll get some new stuff here. So Brian mentioned that, well, actually, forget, not forget Brian, I can't forget you. But if you go back to last week and think about where we were in 2 Timothy, we came to the end of that book, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and Paul has this beautiful, beautiful statement that he makes. I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. And now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only me, but everyone who has longed for his appearing. Paul is, he knows his race is done. His journey is just about over. And you know, that running theme, running the race, that was part of Paul's jargon. It was part of the Bible, really, always referring to the spiritual life as a race that we're running with determination, with discipline, because we want to win the prize. The verse this week, Brian already mentioned it, that the kids were focused on is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Again, Paul, don't you realize that in a race, everybody runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. I love the way this version says that. So run to win with determination. Don't just piddle around. Just, you know, run to win. Make sure you're getting somewhere. All the athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade, but we do it for an eternal prize. So he has this race theme, but along with the race theme, you start to hear about the finish line. And what does the finish line look like? I've fought the right, finished the race, kept the faith. Now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He says, we do this for an eternal prize. You know that one of my favorite passages is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You come to the end of that and he says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. I mean, our bodies, we're struggling. Inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. So what we're going through here now, that counts for something. They're achieving an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on Jesus. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We cannot be, we should never be people as Christ followers who only have our eyes here. You know, there used to be a phrase, you're so heavenly minded, you're of no earthly good. I think we've kind of become just the opposite. We're so earthly minded, we forget there's a heaven. We become so earthly minded that we forget there's an eternity for which we are focused and determined. We want to win the race. So, one of the questions I asked the other night is, so run to win. Maybe you've been a part of an organization or a team, and the leader said, what's a win? What does a win look like for us? What does a win look like for the Christ follower? Crossing the finish line and being in heaven. And not just because the place is beautiful, but because you get to realize and experience the goal of your existence. You get to be with God forever. He created you to be with him. And now we get to be with God absolutely forever. I think a lot about heaven these days. I do. I think a lot about heaven just having recently watched Kim's dad die. Have you been in the room when somebody takes final breaths? And that final breath is done, and you just kind of go, I wonder what they're seeing now. I wonder what they're doing right now. He's been in heaven for a little more than 6 months. I wonder what he's discovering today. I'll stop sometimes and just think, I wonder what he's doing today. I wonder what he's learned today, because we will learn in heaven, and we will continue to grow in heaven. I wonder what he's experiencing today. Think a lot about heaven. I think about my friend Carol, who died in 2004. She was secretary, worked with me at church. And I was in the room again with her and her family when she took her final breaths. And Carol loved to sing and loved to worship. And I just kind of wonder what it was like to close her eyes here in this temporary place and open them in the eternal place. Now, I know I said to the kids, and say it to you as well, when you look at me and you look at my age and the amount of gray in my beard, you think, well, of course you think about heaven a lot. You're about 3 minutes away from toast. told you last week, I had a friend die at 14. 14 years old, he's gone. Gone. We don't know when heaven will happen for us. We don't know when death will happen for us. God wants us to be focused. He wants to be focused on what is happening in the eternal. So the approach I'd like to take with this, because it really does answer a bunch of your questions, is what heaven isn't and what heaven is. What heaven is not and what heaven is. And we won't be able to cover everything today, but we're going to cover some things about what heaven isn't and what heaven is. The Bible doesn't say a ton about heaven. I wish it said more. I wish it gave us the details, all the details. We get some. I mean, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 7, talk about the new Jerusalem and the new heaven, that the dwelling of God is among his people. He's going to wipe away every tear from their eye. No more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. We know all that. We know these pieces. We know some other little details, but we don't get a lot about heaven. And I wonder about that sometimes. Now, I don't have a Bible reason for it. This is a dentist reason. Please understand the two are different. And the dentist reason, I kind of go, I wonder if God just knows he'd be wasting our time telling us about it. It's like telling a one-year-old about Disney World. And by the way, they speak Italian and you speak English. Okay? And you're trying to explain Disney World to them. Roller coasters and great food and cleanest place you've ever been and all this stuff. And they're just sitting there. This is us and God. The most Jesus could do, he'd say, the kingdom of heaven is like. And he'd give us some piece of dust down here and say, it's kind of like this. Because when we get there, we're going to open our eyes and we're going to go, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is, I'm here. What? It's great. Oh, it's going to be amazing. So what is heaven not and what is heaven? Heaven is not eternal harp lessons. I don't know where we got this thing. You know, we got this idea somehow that we die and we walk through a turnstile. Hi, Peter. And as we walk through, we report in over here at the table and they hand us our harp. Harp number 1,341,000,000, and then we go over here and we get our sheet music, and then the next table is our cloud, and we hop on that and we broom broom broom, you know, and we're kind of broom broom. Hey, you know, that'd be cool for about 6 minutes, and I'm gonna be like, eternity? Really? Are you serious? This is what I don't even like the harp. I mean, why I'm stuck doing this? In heaven, everybody's not going to do the same thing. God made you uniquely because God loves you the way you are. He's not going to make us all learn how to do what someone else does. You're going to bring your beauty and your uniqueness to heaven, and you're going to live it out exactly the way you are. You're going to learn and you're going to grow. God loves your uniqueness. I kind of bum, but I don't think we're going to all get to heaven and sing like Dana. I think I'm going to still be, I love this because these poor people, I sing really loud. And this part, you can see this part over here wince every once in a while as they're trying to keep on track and I'm taking them over here. And you're not going to all of a sudden have a perfect voice. But you know what? The croaking you do is absolutely beautiful to God. God's gonna take who you are and say, do you not understand? I love your uniqueness. I love you the way you are. Here's what is going to be cool in heaven. We're going to continue to learn and we're going to continue to grow. You are not going to arrive in heaven and know everything. You're still going to have to work to learn. If you knew everything, you'd be God. We'll learn and we'll grow. But with none of the encumbrances of a sinful human body, we will not be lazy. We will not procrastinate. We will not have those foggy 50 moments. None of that, perfect clarity, all the energy you need, everything perfect to be able to learn and grow and develop and doing it all with joy, all at the same time. Some of you will play the harp, that's great. I'm not. In heaven, you will be the very best version of you. You will finally be everything God intended you to be, every last bit. And he's going to love you that way. Second thing heaven is not the longest church service you've ever been in. don't know about you. I mean, I like church. I like our church, about an hour's worth. And then it's like, want to get on with my day. And we're imagining heaven. Song number 341. Oh, my word, is this service ever going to... Well, we have nothing else to do, right? Listen, I mean, you tell a worship leader, hey, you have all the time you want. Oh, my word, you know, we'll be there for five eternities, just on and on and on and on and on. Heaven is not an eternal worship service, at least not the way we think of it. The way I described it to the kids is, heaven is going to be a lot like a week at Green Lake. It's going to be a lot like the best week of your life, only tons and tons and tons and tons better. So in heaven, we will work. And you won't complain about it at all. And you will love it. And you will have every tool at your disposal. You'll be able, you just, because we exist for God. You know, he says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's not just the works he has prepared for us to do here. That's the works he has prepared for us to do there. And so a huge piece of heaven is going to be just serving God. A huge piece of heaven is going to be taking the friendships we started here and continuing to develop them. You are literally developing eternal relationships. Relationships that will go on forever. And when we get to heaven, we won't have all the sin junk. So guess what? No more disagreements. None of that stuff. Just perfect, beautiful relationships. Yes, we will worship. I think we will have formal worship. I think all the songs we sang this morning, can you imagine singing "What a Beautiful Name" to Jesus? Looking him in the face, tears strolling down your face. Oh my word. We are going to worship. We're going to worship like crazy in heaven. There are people that are already in heaven. Is the Hebrews passage there? Sherry, I'm kind of mixed up here. Do you see that one? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us. There are people who are already there, and they are standing on the sideline, and they're going, come on. Stand back up. Run harder. Do you know how close you are? Run. Run to win. People you've lost that you love that are in heaven now and they cheer you on. I'm convinced that people continue to pray for us in heaven. Not that we're to pray to them to pray for us. We talk straight to Jesus. But if I prayed for you here on earth, why would I not continue to talk about you with God in heaven? Why would I not say, help Dennis run the race today with determination, Lord God in heaven? Heaven's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. So not the longest church service you've ever been in. What else do we know about heaven? You will not be an angel in heaven. We don't die and become angels. You know, you don't die and kind of open your eyes and go... Oh my word. What was that? And you kind of keep seeing this gleam above your head and you're like, a halo, I've always wanted one of these. And you know, perfect white robes and the whole works, and you know, next Christmas you're stuck on the nativity set, you get to be Gloria holding the banner. No. You're not an angel in heaven any more than you'd be a cocker spaniel here on earth. You're a human. Humans are humans, and we will be humans, beautiful, perfect humans forever in heaven. You'll be the best version of you. You'll be like Jesus, the Bible says. You'll have a glorified body. So we know that Jesus was here on earth for 40 days, and during those 40 days, we saw some of what he did. He took bread and he took fish and he ate it to prove that he was a human. But you know what? He didn't need it to survive. We will get to eat just because. This is heaven. Right? I mean, woo! That's fantastic. It tells us, we read the Luke 24 story, right? Two people are walking and Jesus just appeared. And then they realize it's Jesus and they disappear. I think we're going to play with that a lot for about the first 1,000 years. You know, just bing, 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 bing. We're going to have a glorified body. Whatever ache you're feeling right now, won't feel it in heaven. Whatever encumbrance you have in right now, it's not there in heaven. You will be the very best version of you. And you know what? The first part I said that that God loves your uniqueness. Here's the beautiful part about heaven. You will love your uniqueness. You will finally look at you and the things that you don't like, and you'll say, I love this about me. I love this about me. Not in a prideful way, but because you finally realize fully and completely God's design for you, and you're living it out exactly the way he desires. Fourth one. There's a myth that everybody will be equal in heaven. We will not. We won't all be equal in heaven any more than we're not all equal here on earth. And what do I mean by that? John's an engineer. I could study all day till Jesus comes. I would mess up the math furiously. My brain is not designed for math. We're not equal in that way. He's better than me. Dana sings like, I mean, she has, what's the new song we're doing? Build My Life. She does this Build My Life, and I turned to her mom last week, and I'm like, oh, that voice. What a beautiful, beautiful voice. I could practice, I could get vocal lessons, I could pay millions of dollars. It's still going to sound like garbage. We are not equal in this way. We are not equal in this way. She's better than me. And that's okay. That's part of the beauty of humanity, that we're not all the same. The Bible tells us that a piece of where things will divide a little bit has to do with one of your questions. Someone asked the question, so if we're believers and we know that our sin is forgiven, then why in the world does it talk about judgment for believers? What's that all about? Sherry, you're going to have to flip back to the 1 Corinthians 5, or is it 2nd? 1 Corinthians 5 passage? Sorry, I'm doing this to her this morning. So, I warned her, don't worry. No, the other one. You were there. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. So here again, Paul is talking kind of mournfully, but longingly. Mournfully that he's stuck here, longingly that he wants to be there. We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, he's talking about the body, we will have a building from God, a new body, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan. Do you groan? I groan. Longing to be clothed instead in our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. So Brian and Riley had to put down earnest money to get the house. The earnest money on your road to heaven is the Holy Spirit within you. You have the Holy Spirit. That's the guarantee that you're going to be there. You know, you became a believer, the Spirit came to dwell in you. That's the guarantee. And we want to throw off this old tent, this moldy, falling apart tent, and we want that heavenly dwelling. He says, therefore, we're always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, that we would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him. I can't see God right now, but the goal of my life is to please him. Everything I did last week, ultimately, was because I wanted to please my Father in heaven. Whether we're at home, in the body, or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. You see, there's not the judgment for us that says heaven or hell. That's your believer in Christ. The blood of Jesus is paid for your sin. But there is an ongoing perspective from God. He's looking at us and asking, okay, so what are you doing with that salvation I gave you? How are you living it out? Are you living it out, as Paul says, in fear and trembling? Are you living it out in such a way that the fruit of your salvation, the works that are being produced, are consistent with the faith you have? And he says, yeah, there will be a time that we'll stand before Christ and we will be judged for the good things and the not good things that we did as believers. Not because Jesus is going to say, boy, I don't know, you shouldn't be in here. That's done. But this determines what we're about in heaven. It determines our reward. And I think a lot of times when we hear reward, we think of things. Oh, good, I'll get more gold. No, we're not going to care about gold. Gold, in a sense, gold is going to be worthless in heaven. There's going to be too much of it. You know, I mean, it's going to be about responsibility. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Basically, God's saying, what you're doing now is determining what's going to happen for all of eternity with you. Not your destination, but that responsibility, that privilege of being able to serve God the way you do. And so we serve with all of our hearts. Last myth. Everyone gets in except the really bad people. Right? For the most part, we look around a room and we go, yeah, all these people are going, they're all going to heaven. Hitler? Nope. He won't be there. Kind of go through the evil people of all times. They won't be there. No way. Probably someone you don't like that you think won't be there. They will. But, you know, to bug you. Anyway. You know, we talk about it so often that sometimes I think, why am I saying it again? Because you all know this. And then I'll have a conversation. I'll go, it's not getting through. The only way to heaven is Jesus Christ. The only way to heaven is Jesus Christ. All the good these kids did last week has nothing to do with their salvation. If they didn't know Christ, they will have weary muscles and still be separated from God forever. All we did last week has nothing to do with our salvation. All we did last week has everything to do with our eternal reward. And, you know, Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes over and over and again talking about the reward we will receive for what we do in private rather than ringing the bell and having everybody know what we did here. Admit you've sinned. Oh, some of us just stumble on that. I'm not as bad as I could be. You are not as good as you could be. Neither am I. None of us is. Every one of us has done at least one wrong thing, and that's enough for eternal separation from God. Believe that Jesus died to pay for your sin, to give you eternal life. And choose Jesus as the forgiver of your sin and the leader of your life. It could not be more simple. And some of you are still trying to make it so stinking complicated. You know, you're still, well, if I try harder, if I do this, if I can we have another service so I can go to another one? Because I keep tallying these. No, not it. Not it. It's about your relationship with Jesus and that alone. So if you know that, oh my goodness, what are you waiting for? Because like my 14-year-old friend, you don't know that you will be here next week. What are you waiting for? You want a relationship with God. Some of the best parts of heaven, you heard it in the Phil Wickham song at the beginning. I think some of the best part of heaven is going to have my Creator look me in the eyes and say, you did a great job down there. Thank you. You did a great job down there. Some of us have had parents who were very sparing with praise. Didn't want to praise you too much. Didn't want to make you proud kind of thing. God is going to lavish you with praise. The praise you didn't get here from human beings, you will hear from the lips of God. You did a great job. I hear your voice and it calls my name. Well done, my child, enter in and rest. We'll hear the well done. No pain, no tears, no temptation to do wrong. Do you know what it'll be like to drive and not want to? Yeah, my hand moved a little bit. You know what it'd be like to just not have the temptation to do wrong? To only have the motivation to do right all the time. To sit down at a meal and say, I don't need that. I don't know what that's like. No death, not one more funeral. I have some friends who, you know, they're in their 70s and they say, wow, more of my friends are gone than here. I'm tired of going to funerals. All perfect, all new. Some of my favorite heaven songs. I'm going to be sending you a heaven song playlist later today because I love listening to songs about heaven. Some of my favorite heaven songs just, they portray the sense of longing so beautifully. Rich Mullins, Tommy Walker, Phil Wickham. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. I just want to be home. You hear it in the words of Paul. I just want to be home. But ultimately, the best part of heaven in my mind, we're with God. Can you imagine? And we are with each other. We get to be together forever. Yeah, I've talked about my voice a little bit today. I was in choir, believe it or not. It was kind of a no-cut choir. When you go to a school of 60 kids in the high school, I mean, literally, there were four kids in my grade, okay? So you have a choir. Everybody's in. We'd sing Sweet Low, Sweet Chariot. If you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home, tell all my friends I'm coming too. I'll probably make it before a bunch of you in the room. And I may talk to your grandma or your grandpa or your parent or your child who has died before you. And it's going to be fun to say, they'll be here shortly. But boy, I hope I can say that with confidence. And the confidence has nothing to do with your personal goodness. It has everything to do with the goodness of Jesus and whether you've trusted in him as the forgiver of your sin and the leader of your life. So please get this done. Get this done. Heaven would not be and will not be the same without you. I want you there. The thought that I would have been pastor here for, you know, a couple of decades, served you, talked to you, ministered with you, to find out that you didn't make it because you just didn't simply admit you were sinful and entrusted Jesus, it would break my heart. I'm convinced there will be no tears in heaven, but I don't know when that will start. Because I am also convinced that when we find out who didn't make it, we're going to weep. We're going to weep. How could we not? Please, get this done. So, for communion this morning, we're going to listen to one of my favorite heaven songs. It lasts 5 minutes, which is longer than we need for communion. But I want you to especially listen to the ending, because the expression of longing, the longing, I love life here, believe me. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love watching them grow up. I love you. I can't stand Illinois, and you're the only thing that keeps me here, right? I'm not kidding. Anytime it's like, do you want to move? I'm like, how could I leave this church? You know, and even like when I retire, I'm like, how could I leave this place? I love these people. I love this place. And I can't believe how much in me there's this growing sense. And I just want to go home. I can't wait. I can't wait. So, we'll take the minute to be quiet and you do with it whatever you need. It might be to just think about Jesus. It might be to think about something we've talked about today. It might be finally getting it done. Trust him today. And then the music will start and you can move to communion. But then when it's done, I want you to just come back and sit and listen, not just to the words, but to the passion behind it. So Ryan's going to hit the lights. Our candle is going to come up on this, candle and cross, and we're going to be quiet.
No, I can't wait to join the angels and sing my heaven song.
That's the song that I think Shelley, my kids, gave to Grandpa in the final weeks of his life. And I'd sit and I'd watch him sitting in his recliner. And you knew that his tent was wasting away. I'd sit on the couch across and I'd think the words, I hear your voice and it catches my breath. Well done, my child, enter in and rest. as tears of joy rolled down my cheeks. It's beautiful. It's beautiful beyond my wildest dreams. I want to run on greener pastures. I want to dance on higher hills. I want to drink from sweeter water in the misty morning chill. And my soul is getting restless. Is your soul restless yet? Not just because this place stinks. Because a lot of it doesn't. A lot of it's beautiful. But because that place is so much better. And God will be with us. And will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And all will be new. I can't wait. And I hope to see you there. Enjoy your weekend.